Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. Today we want to continue a part three of The Integrity of God's Word with perhaps a subtitle of Believing God for the Miraculous, because I really feel impressed upon my heart right now to talk about this, because we can't really say that we believe in the integrity of God's Word if we don't believe everything that the Word says and teaches. And you made that point very clear yesterday, sweetheart, that the whole Bible is God's Word, and everything in it we must believe. And, you know, we do have, you know, unfortunately, ministry churches or whatever Christians today that don't believe everything in the Bible being for today. And Pentecost power is one of those things. Because Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, he said that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. And I want to talk a little bit about that, but I want to also build a foundation or backdrop to that, you know, because it's not a matter of just saying, well, we need power, but what do we need power for? Because Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord was, you know, he said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, and 19, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because. And that word because is a very important word. Because why was the Spirit of the Lord upon him? Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So it takes the Spirit of the Lord to be upon us, to move upon us and through us in order to minister God's healing and delivering power to people. And we can't take that for granted, especially as Christians who have been born again and received the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit in us is God himself.
Amen.
Living on the inside of us. And we need to be mindful of that all the time, because if God is living on the inside of us, then potentially everything that Jesus did, we're able to do as well. And we know this from Scripture. Amen. Just as we said about the integrity of God's Word, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Do we believe that? You know, I know many don't. Well, you know, that was just for the apostles. That was just for a select few or certain ones that God's anointed with those type of gifts and callings. But yet, Jesus does not distinguish between believers in this verse, nor does he in Mark chapter 16 when he says that these signs will follow those who believe. Mark 16 verse 17 says that these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they shall cast down demons. That's one of the first signs that's mentioned. And do we believe that demons went away, you know, after the first century? Oh, well, Jesus is gone, so I guess we're done here. And we'll go back to hell. No, they're still here. Matter of fact, probably wreaking more havoc than they were even during those days. And so we need to know not only delivering power, healing power, but also the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us to be able to do all that God has for us to do, needs for us to do. Because many, I believe, listening unto the sound of this broadcast, you may have been raised up in churches or ministries or families that believe that the miracle working power of God was done away with at the last apostle died, original apostle. This is a theme that's taught amongst those who believe in the doctrine of cessationism, that the gifts of the Spirit ceased at the end of the first century because they were only there to validate the ministry of Christ through the apostles. And after that was no longer needed, because now we have the Word, the Bible, New Testament in print. So that's all we need to follow. But interestingly, you know, I'm going to have you jump in here, sweetheart, in a moment here before we get deeper into this subject, is that, you know, interestingly and ironically, when they say that we no longer need the gifts of prophecy to help guide the church because now we have the written Word, but the written Word says to despise not prophecies, right?
That's right.
The written Word says to forbid not speaking in tongues. Mm-hmm. The Word says that the Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he was healing and doing miracles 2,000 years ago, and he lives on the inside of us now, should he not be doing the same things today through us in the world?
That makes sense. That's right. That's right. And it's so good to know that our God is not a God, as it says in John that you were reading, verse 18. I love it because he said, I am not going to leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you orphans. And it is so important for us to know. And now we're talking about Christians, you know, those that have given our hearts to the Lord and those that have been born again. And therefore, we have the Holy Spirit in us, that we are not victims of whatever the day wants to bring our way. God has a plan for us. So speaking about those miracles and the power that we have because of the Holy Spirit, I think I know that many, many, many of our listeners are believers, but I feel the need to just reiterate what's kind of obvious. But just in case, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not what some people are teaching or want to believe, that he's just this energy, he's this force, interpreting it in a wrong way, because obviously he is powerful. The Holy Spirit is God, but he is a person. It is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, this beautiful and holy Trinity. And when Jesus ascended to the Father to sit at the right hand, he said, I will not leave you orphans. Now, if Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is upon me, when he read in Isaiah 61, and he mentioned the manifestations of having the Holy Spirit in him, upon him, what was going to happen? What would make us think that it would be any different with us? So if the Holy Spirit, as he said, hey, I'm not going to leave you guys orphans, as he said in John chapter 14, verse 15, and so on, 18, he says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. And he was speaking about giving us the Holy Spirit. It was so that we could not only have God living inside of us. I mean, how much closer can God get? How much closer can God get to us, right? Sometimes we say, I don't feel God. I don't know if God is with me. How much closer can God get than being inside of you? I know that myself, I often have said, oh my gosh, I would have loved to be here when Jesus was walking on the earth and walking by Jesus and eating with him and seeing all those miracles. But you know what? There was a time when Jesus would go and pray by himself. The disciples were no longer with him. But now that Jesus ascended, he said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. And he gave us a gift above and beyond what we could possibly imagine that we could even deserve. And it's that he decided to be not by us, but inside of us, abide in us. And so with that abode, with the Holy Spirit living inside of us, there is a reason. And I want to once again remind our listeners, we are not orphans. We are not victims of whatever the day wants to bring our way. There is a reason why the Holy Spirit is abiding inside of us. It's not only to give you testimony that you are saved, but also so that you can do those things that Jesus himself also did, and in greater ways, because now he's inside of us and there's more of us.
Amen. That's powerful. And, you know, as we started this series, you know, this is the third part of this. The integrity of God's word is, I believe the subject we're going to need to continue, not necessarily in this particular vein and the integrity of God's word, but in another topic about God's healing power, miracle power, or you might say the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, those are obviously subjects and can go very deep, and I want us to get into that. But in staying with this theme about the integrity of God's word, I want to establish in this particular podcast is that it's not just that we believe in his word, that what he says we need to do to be saved, and that's the most important, obviously, yes, to be born again so that a person can inherit eternal life,
right,
and spend forever with God in heaven.
Amen.
But secondary to that is the things that Jesus taught. He said, go, he told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, he said this at the end of Mark chapter 16, in Mark chapter 16, which is the last chapter of Mark. And he also said it in Luke chapter 28. You know, he talked about what was it, you know, he's saying what is the, some of the most important words is also can relate to his final words. You know, his final words, go and make disciples of all nations.
Amen.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. You know, and of course he said about, you know, that salvation is in his name and through the blood that it was shed on the cross. But yet at the same time, there's still a lot more teaching that goes along with this. And in the terms of what we're talking about, the miraculous, why is it important? Because I know there's a lot of Christians and ministry and Christian groups that shy away from this subject because they think, well, this is not only is this controversial, but this is something that people seek after because of ego. Well, they want to have power, and they like all these things about the power of God and all these things in order to build their ego. But the point is isn't it about ego? If Jesus gave an instruction, the works that I do, you shall do also, then there is a need for it. It's not just a reason that he's saying that. That reason is a need. The need is that people need deliverance.
That's
people
true.
Need healing. People need miracles in their lives because we're living
right.
in a fallen world that is basically the fallen world dominated by Satan and his demon forces. And it takes the power of God
Amen.
Not only working through us, but being in us, you know, living in us, but working through us to help others to overcome.
That's
it's
right.
only God that can overcome Satan.
Definitely.
And he's given us that, you say, that person of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
But also as a equipping mechanism to be able to help us to overcome and help others to overcome. So when he says, the works that I do, you shall do also, this is so that we can do the work of ministry to help people become equipped and overcome and get out from under the bondage of Satan. You know, I think of the story of the woman who was bound up with this spirit of infirmity, bent over double. When they're back, could you imagine? You know, says Jesus said when the Pharisees questioned about healing on the Sabbath, he said, should not this daughter, woman, the daughter of Abraham, who is Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, shouldn't she not be made well on the Sabbath
wow.
day?
Right.
You know, Satan, he attributed to the cause of her condition, that he had bound her up. And yet, when we read scriptures and when we sometimes hear teachings, people act as if, Christian people act as if the devil doesn't exist. He's not doing anything to anybody. Because if you receive Jesus and accept him as Lord and Savior, then somehow the devil just goes away. Well, that's not the case, because Jesus dealt with the devil. And as a matter of fact, probably about a third of his teaching was dealing with the devil, casting out demons and healing people who were oppressed of the devil. Because it says that in Acts 10:38, where Peter is preaching to them, Cornelius' household said how God had anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Amen.
And I'm quoting it verbatim without
Amen.
Even looking at that scripture. And it's important when we talk about the integrity of God's word that we get the word in us. And I don't mean just certain passages only. We need to learn the whole scope. And that's one of the things we need to understand too, is God's miracle working power is made available to us through the Holy Spirit. And
that's
it's there to help us, to help others get free, as well as it for ourselves, mm-hmm. so we can walk in dominion. How is it that we can walk in the peace of God and the faith of God, the hope of God, the health and healing of God, if we don't have this dominion power working on the inside of us? I call it dominion power because that's what it is. We have to have it in order to overcome the adversary, the enemy of our soul, because Jesus said very clearly mm-hmm. in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. And that life more abundantly obviously starts with the born-again experience, receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But that's just a start. I mean, what good would it be to do if you were out on the mission field in somewhere in Africa, in the bush country, because, you know, there's urban area cities where churches are thriving, but, you know, many out in the rural, in the bush country, and you had the most powerful weapon that the Army has. You know, one of the most powerful weapons is the Apache helicopter. And you saw 200 or 300 rebels, you know, a rebel group coming over the mountain over there, over the hill, coming your way, and they're about 2 miles away. Still time for you to be able to regroup, you know, to get to be able to be ready for the assault. Never coming at you with machetes. And yet you had an Apache helicopter sitting right there. A weapon can blow them clean off the face of the map, you know. But you didn't have the knowledge and training to be able to start it and to fly it and to use the weaponry.
You didn't know how to use it.
It would do you no good.
No good. No.
Well, Christians, a lot of times, are the same way. We have the Bible, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and they have no clue how to operate these things. It just sounds like good spiritual truths, but that has no application in their life in terms from the spiritual to the natural. Right. And they weren't meant just to be spiritual truths. They were meant to be spiritual truths as applicable in the natural world.
Right.
So we're going to talk about some of those things, and I think we'll do a series on this in itself about God's miracle working power through the
really
baptism
useful.
Of the Holy Spirit. So,
Absolutely.
But we want to talk right now about the integrity of believing God's word on these subject matters. So,
if I just want to, you know, I want to mention something regarding that, and it's that for those of us that are children of God, those of us that belong and to God and are in His covenant, and I make that distinction because if you're listening to this podcast and you've never given your heart to the Lord, this still does not apply to you. The first step is for you to first give your heart to God, your life to God, and then these things are applicable. But to those of us that do belong to the Lord, that are in His covenant, it's important to know that once you've accepted the Lord, once you are His child, once your name is written in the book of life, the enemy cannot take that away from you, but he can sure impoverish your walk with the Lord. So I say that because what you mentioned, that example, is so powerful. The enemy cannot take your name out of the book of life and say, no, Jesus doesn't love you anymore once you are saved. But what he can do is keep you ignorant of the truths that will allow you to live a successful, victorious, abundant life, to walk in the authority of the word. If you already gave your heart to the Lord, he's like, okay, I lost you, but you know what? I'm going to make your life as miserable as possible. And the way I'm going to do it is that I'm going to keep you away from the truth. I'm going to keep you ignorant of what the word says, what God has for you. I'm not going to let you find out about the power that is accessible to you, because if you find out and use it, then you are a danger and a threat to me. So I love what you're sharing now, and I truly know, I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to many hearts now and stirring up not only a curiosity, but something in your soul, in your spirit, of fire that will ignite and say, wait a minute, I will no longer live as a defeated Christian. If the Holy Spirit is inside of me and Jesus said, I'm going to do what he has done, why am I in this state? Why am I so defeated? Why am I so hopeless? Why does the future look so bleak to me? No way. Something's going to change. And I am so glad that the Lord has used this podcast to make a difference.
Amen, sweetheart. That's beautiful. I mean, I don't know what I would do without you in these podcasts, baby. But I know God put us together because it was His plan and His purpose. And, you know, He made, you know, a man to be with a woman, a woman to be with a man, a husband and a wife. And I'm amazed more and more each day how we are such a great team and work together so well.
God, a suitable helper.
Yes, God is so awesome, right? And so what you're saying is so true is, we weren't given this life in Christ, eternal life, in order for us to live a defeated life.
No.
He gave it to, when he says, I came to give you life and life more abundantly, depression, anxiety, sickness, disease, all these things are not of the abundant life. No. It's not.
No.
You know, I mean, if that's the abundant life, then imagine what's poverty like, right? If the abundant life is all those bad things, then what is the bad life like, the less abundant life like?
If as Christians we live defeated in every sense of the word, what does the unbeliever have to look forward to? What could they possibly desire from us if we have nothing to show that God is in us?
Exactly. Right. What hope do we have to offer them?
Right.
We don't have nothing to give them. And, of course, we don't want to take away from those who may be going through a season of struggle right now, because we've all had those, and we sympathize. We have love and compassion for this, because I've cried many tears and been in distress.
Right.
But yet, you know, the Bible says that, I don't remember what exactly the scripture is, but it says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers out
That's
of them
right.
all.
Yes.
So we can know that he'll bring us out, you know.
Right.
And sometimes I would even say this, because I see this in scripture as well. Sometimes your greatest struggle is nothing more than an indication of what God is about to do in your life, and Satan is trying to stop it.
That's true.
And you know what? He hasn't stopped you yet.
That's right.
And he isn't going to, if you won't allow him to.
Yes.
Just weather the storm, you know, just persevere. Hold fast your confession of faith. God will bring you out. He's seen your tears, he's seen your pain and your sorrow, and he's going to equip you for greater and better things, and use you as a tool help others who've gone through similar things.
To comfort. You know, I think we should take an extra 30 seconds and just emphasize and reiterate that, because I definitely, and I'm sure that you agree, wouldn't want the listeners to have any impression that we're sharing something that is so disconnected to what we call real life, right? And the struggles. And that is so true. And the word you brought in, you said seasons. We are more than grateful. We are so grateful to the Lord that he walked with us through those many different seasons. And the reason why we can share now and say, hey, this is what the word says. Hey, this is what God wants for you. Hey, this is what's in the covenant. Hey, don't let depression take the best of you. It's because we've walked those roads and the Lord has seen us through it in victory. So that's important, Amor, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because we know what it's like to be sad, to feel defeated, to feel alone, to feel hopelessness, to all of those things, right, that people call real life. But we also have the testimony of victory, and to say we've been there, and we can tell you for sure, guaranteed, that the Lord is your helper, and he is the one who's going to see you through that season if we are anchored in his word and don't allow the enemy to take away the hope that is found only in Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's so good, because, you know, sometimes people do think, well, you don't understand my situation. You haven't gone through what I've gone through, so, you know, you really can't relate to me. But it's just as you said, when we teach these principles and the things that God has for us, we don't want to give the impression, I'll reiterate that, what you just said, we don't want to give that impression that, you know, somehow we're immune to these things, these attacks, because the fact is that the scripture says that that we basically all go through the same things, you know, similar things.
There's nothing new.
There's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
And there's no temptation such as common to man, you know, that we haven't been tempted with. But the point where we're getting at is, you know, if you have a goal of an objective to get to a certain location or place, you just don't get there randomly. Like if you want to drive from, you know, where we're at here in Pennsylvania, close to New York, you know, in Allentown, we're not going to get in a car and land in Los Angeles by just driving aimlessly whatever road we desire to turn on. We have to have a guide.
Definitely.
And direction, a map.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're saying here is the map to God's power and greatness is found in his word. And that's why the subject matter of the integrity of God's word is so important, is because when we see the scripture says that you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that you shall be my witnesses. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. You will cast out devils. You will lay hands on the sick. You will speak with new tongues. You will do these things. These are for benefit of magnifying God and also furthering his kingdom, because it says in Matthew chapter 11 that the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force.
Amen.
And how I've always interpreted that is that Satan is coming vehemently against the kingdom of God, but it takes a willful, determined, persistent, strong faith of the person to withstand that. And when I say in violence, it's more of a forceful strength to resist that opposition that the enemy is coming against us. Because Jesus said to Peter, said when he changed his name from Simon to Peter, he said, "If you are Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it."
Amen.
Well, that obviously tells us that the gates of hell are trying to prevail against it.
That's true.
But we have to step up and stand against it, and we can't do that when we're beaten down and defeated. You know, we may go through that period of time, but God is there to strengthen us and help us. And that's what we're hoping
Amen.
To do here
Amen.
In these broadcasts, is to strengthen people's faith
mm-hmm.
and give them that goal, that map, and say, here, where you can go. You can be filled with the power of God. You can be filled with the love of God, the nature of Christ. You can overcome the sin nature. You can overcome all obstacles, because Jesus has come to give us life, and life
Amen.
More abundantly.
Praise God.
And we read this in Colossians 1. You know, I really like this scripture. You know, where Paul is talking about Christ in us, the hope of glory, in verse 27. But prior to that, I want to read this. He said, verse 24, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in afflictions of Christ for the sake of the body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to the working to his working, which works in me mightily." So he was suffering in order to bring this truth to people. And Satan, like you were kind of referring to, that he knows that power is available, because he saw it in Jesus.
That's right.
And he saw that Jesus said that he was, going to duplicate that in his disciples, mm-hmm. his apostles, and those followers, those who would believe and receive. So he knew this is one of the greatest threats that he would face on earth. And I used to like say it like this, that there's basically two, you might say, stages. You know, of course, there can be more to be added to this, but two basic stages that Satan is in opposition to. If he can stop you from believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God,
right.
so that you can't become born again, he can capture
right.
your soul,
right.
and you will not receive eternal life. But if he can't stop you from receiving that, and you receive
right.
Christ, then the next one's to stop you from gaining any kind
exactly.
of power and ascendancy over him.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of Christians that he didn't stop from getting saved, but he's actually stopping
mm-hmm.
from gaining
yes.
the power of the Spirit
yes.
to dominate him. And,
that's
of
right.
course, he doesn't have the authority to do that to the church. It's just that what we give him through our lack of knowledge and lack of commitment to the Lord, because the more that we learn the Word, the more we learn of God. And the more we learn of God, the more we can receive of his power to work in our lives, because knowledge is power.
Amen. But we trust that that's going to change in the name of Jesus. I have the faith for that many who are listening to this podcast and are sitting on the sidelines, and they're not doing what God wants them to do. They're not exercising the power inside within the Holy Spirit in them. It's going to change now, because when you hear the truth, just as we saw in many examples in the Word, when they hear the truth, something happens and they can no longer remain the same. So I know and I'm believing that many, many, many Christians that have not been walking with this power, that have been walking with a defeated sign over their head, it's going to change in the name of Jesus. And that's the beauty of these podcasts, you know, that it's going to, and it is making a big difference in many lives and many more to come. Not just those that are here now today, but I'm even believing for those that are growing up and will find that their faith is strengthened with the truth that is found in His Word alone.
Amen. 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 And we'll conclude this broadcast here because I think we're going to start a series on the power of God and all those other things that we're mentioning here in this particular theme in this particular series. Yes. On the integrity of God's Word.
There's so much to say.
And so with that, we'll conclude this, and I'll turn it over to my sweetheart to do her evangelistic.
Amen. We all, you know, you said two things, and I love it. I think I'm going to take that and just copy it. Because if there's two things that the enemy wants to do to stop us from, it's definitely from knowing that Jesus is the Savior. But today, you don't have to stay with that loss. If you have never given your heart to the Lord, today you can give your heart to the Lord and enter into this covenant. God loves you so much. And I pray that as you're listening to this, the Holy Spirit will smother you with the love that is in God's heart, and that you will feel and know that, yes, it is His desire and His will that you do have eternal life. But listen, the bad news is that you cannot save yourself. You cannot. And because you and I could not reach God in our sinful nature, you know what God did? He came to us. He came to you and me. Jesus came and He took your place and my place on the cross to pay for your sins so that you did not have to live your life eternally separated from God. What a good God we have. And so all you have to do, that's what John 3:16 says, that God gave His Son so that you, your name, when you believe in Him, you do not have to perish but have eternal life. How can you say no to that amazing offer of salvation? So the invitation today is that you will accept the love that Jesus is offering you on the cross, and you say, yes, Jesus, I need you. I confess that I am a sinner. I need you, and I give you my heart, and I'll accept your love and your new life in me. If you do that with sincerity, guess what? The good news is you have eternal life, and you will be a brand new born again Christian that one day will see the Lord face to face and have the Holy Spirit inside of you. What an offer.
Amen. Well, we want to thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you next time. God bless.
We'll see you then. God bless.
Right, bye-bye.